think, when will it end? When will it end? Well, it ends when we do something about it. I mean, these people aren't going to stop until they're stopped. They have a plan for complete world domination and total control and self-enrichment and self-empowerment. And you, they have told you, are going to live in a pod and you are going to eat bugs and you are going to own nothing and you are going to be happy. And they being Zionists and Israel and Jews. But, you know, it's not just Jews. It's not just Israel bombing the hell out of children and committing a real Holocaust. No, they can't do it without your money. They can't do it without the American war empire, who has placed strategically the military-industrial complex on its front lines in the foreign secular nation state founded on May 14, 1948, called Israel conveniently so that you can't question it, God forbid, criticize it. And over the past year, the world has now woken up to just how evil Israel and its Jewish Zionist terrorist regime really are. And this is especially true for people in America, where Israel is a sacred cow. A sacred golden calf, to speak. And if you question it, you'll be run out of town on a rail. At least you would have been until shows like this one slammed the Overton window back into reality and opened up a national discussion on just how disgusting and depraved and murderous these people really are. So now the world is noticing. The conversations on X are a whole lot different than they would have been a year ago. And so to run damage control and to control the narrative, Israel and their allies have to employ a ton of disinformation agents, a ton of controlled opposition losers who pretend that they're members of either the left or the right, depending on who the person is, while working around the clock to hold back activists and truth seekers and stop them from getting their message out in any consequential type of way. We all know that this is true, and it happens all the time. Turn on the Fox News channel. You'll see some clown like Sean Hannity, who we're all told is a right winger and a patriot, talking about just how much he loves and adores Israel and how much he loves and adores these Jews and how he wants to see your kids sent to the Middle East to die for them. Just think back to the anti-genocide protests at Ivy League schools. Very, very quickly, they were infiltrated by Jewish agents who were sent in to make legitimate protesters look like they were violent and unhinged and stupid. They were plants. Controlled opposition. But again, this isn't limited to America. These people are everywhere. And they're meddling in everything. Take Tommy Robinson, for example. I'm sure most members of this audience at least know who the guy is. He's that guy who every time British patriots stand up and do something to assert themselves, he comes in and takes over the narrative. The media shifts all of their coverage to him, and pretty soon it becomes a Tommy Fest. He's all over the internet claiming to be some kind of British patriot. But in the same breath, he'll tell you that he's ready to die for Israel. He's actually said before that if Israel went to war, he would go to the Middle East and be on the front lines. And it's kind of funny because right now Israel is at war, and where's Tommy? He's not there. No, instead, he's running around the UK defending Israel and attacking real patriots, real nationalists who are sick and tired of the Zio war lobby machine gallivanting around the Middle East, sticking its missiles and its agenda everywhere, committing a genocide, a real Holocaust, and funneling millions of third world migrants into the West. And you know, this Tommy Robinson story, it gets even more stupid because his name isn't even Tommy Robinson. It's Stephen Christopher Yaxley Lennon. So Tommy Robinson isn't even a real person. He's a character in a real life movie about poisoning the reputation of British patriots and British nationalists and subverting all of these movements with pro-Israel, Jewish-run filth. He's loyal to Israel. He's not a British patriot. He's not a Western patriot. No, he's nothing like that. He's a Jew-run, Israel-worshipping hack who has previously claimed that he is, in fact, a Jew. No wonder he's so loyal to Israel. But when he's confronted about this loyalty, when he's confronted with the fact that he supports a genocidal foreign nation state more than he supports his own country, he freaks out. He trips over his own words and he runs around in circles trying to explain how, even though it is in fact a loyalty to Israel first, by his own admission, that he's somehow a great symbol of British patriotism and Western civilization. Don't believe me. Listen to him.
I notice you're wearing a shirt or a button that says, I'm a Zionist. What does a Zionist mean to you? What is a Zionist?
Well, a Zionist, someone believes in a homeland for Jewish people.
I believe. My definition, when I've looked at that in the dictionary, is Israel first.
It means Israel first?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
well, you know, there is a negative incantation in a lot of realms about Zionism. And since it does denote that it is Israel first, can you possibly serve two masters? Meaning, can you serve England and Israel at the same time?
Shalom,
listen, let me tell you something. Yeah? If there was a war tomorrow, which there will be, because I'll probably start at the end of the session. If there was a war and it kicked off, I would be there on the front line fighting for Israel.
Right, but this guy is totally controlled. And gay and pathetic, and so are the people who rally to his defense online day in and day out. But fortunately, that's starting to change. Yeah, word is getting out now, and legitimate British patriots, real ones, are getting tired of this clown. They're getting tired of this guy who supports Hindu-Indian migration into England, telling them that a true British patriot would absolutely love living in a sea of browns full of human shit, so long as Israel is okay. So long as Israel remains a Jewish ethnostate and conquers the entire Middle East. But lucky for us and lucky for the people of England, not everyone with a platform is a total Zionist shill. Many are, but not all of them. And one of those who's publicly pushed back against the Jewish Zionist domination of England and the world is our good friend David Miller, who joins us now. We've had you on the show before. We appreciate you coming back.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm well. Do you think a lot of people are starting to notice about this Tommy Robinson?
Well, yes, they are. I mean, there's a lot of people who are trying to pretend that he's not what he is. They try and say, oh, he's just part of the traditional far right, that he will take money from anywhere he can. And we shouldn't really pay any attention to this idea that he is connected to Israel. And of course, that's difficult to do when you look at the actual funding that he's had down the years from Israel-connected sources, including, in particular, mostly from US neoconservative think tanks who are funded by Zionists. So, yes, people push back against it, but there's a key problem here in the UK, which is on the left, is that people want to say we should fight fascism rather than we should fight Zionism, because they want to have a broad movement and they don't want to offend liberal Zionists. That's why they say we should fight fascism, and that's why they pretend that Tommy Robinson is a traditional fascist, but he's not.
Yeah, and by the way, for the audience, if you don't remember David Miller, this guy is not just somebody who talks the talk. He was a university professor who was fired for speaking out against Zionism and continues to do so. So you've got skin in the game and you put your money where your mouth is. Unlike a lot of these other people, you know, you see these people that call themselves conservatives or call themselves patriots or, you know, we want to fight back against any oppression. And then these are the very same people that will just accept the lesser of two evils, or they know that somebody's not telling the truth, but he's famous, so we got to keep listening to him. And this is people like Tucker Carlson, who won't talk about Zionism, who won't talk about Jewish supremacy. Alex Jones will not name Jews for the evil that they are committing. It's the globalists, it's the Chi-Coms, it's the radical Islamic extremist terrorists wearing towels on their heads. But I don't see an overrepresentation of people wearing towels on their heads or Chinacoms in our government. I don't see them as unelected bureaucrats making the decisions of who they're going to go and drop bombs on as a real Holocaust is committed, David. Why do people accept this?
Well, there's a huge amount of propaganda goes into it. And yes, I mean, a huge amount of that is constructed by the Zionists. But it's also, of course, let's remember, constructed by the intelligence services in your country and in my country. They want to say, oh, the problems of our world are caused by Russia or China or Iran or by the Muslims. And of course, these are core messages which sit very well with the Zionists. The Zionists themselves, of course, push a key message, and that's the way that they recruited Tommy Robinson back in 2009 And the key message was that they had to be saying that the main problem in the UK was the Muslims. And so what happened was that these people from the US who came over to recruit Tommy Robinson, and indeed the whole European counter-jihad movement, they approached all of the far right in Europe, including in the UK, and they said, look, you've got to abandon all this anti-Jewish stuff. You've got to abandon talking about the banks. What you've got to do is focus only on the Muslims. And if you do that, we'll give you money. And now some parts of the far right didn't do that, but other parts, like Tommy Robinson, for example, in his English Defence League, they did do that. And that's how you had this creation of a street army, an anti-Muslim street army, which would not talk about Zionist power, and in fact became very, very Judeophilic. Robinson, of course, himself went over to Israel. There are photographs of him in his IDF t-shirt on top of a Merkava tank. And he's become very much a shill for the Israelis. And that's, as you said, the problem he's got is whenever people say, you're supposed to be a British patriot, and he doesn't know how to handle that, because of course he is, as you showed in those clips on Israel Firster.
And he says it. And then people just forget about it and they move on, because I think a lot of people, David, are willfully ignorant. They don't want to admit how bad it is, because the people that they have looked up to and believed in and thought were truth-telling crusaders, the tip of the spear of the info war, for example, they find out, well, they really aren't, and then they don't want to admit it. Much like people who took their kids to go get the bioweapon DNA-changing clot shot because it was a safe and effective vaccine, they don't want to admit what they have done to their children, because it's hard enough to just admit that they were duped in the first place. But unless we start dealing in reality, unless we start naming these people and calling them out, then what purpose do we serve?
Well, look, I think that there's a problem. I mean, as you say, there's a problem of large parts of the right, especially in the US, which are taken over by the Zionists. But it's also a problem on the left and amongst liberals in the UK. And liberals is a word which we use to mean sort of centrists. So on the left in the UK, there's this real problem in talking about Zionists, and what people want to say is, look, all the problems that are being caused in Gaza, in Lebanon, these are caused by US imperialism. They're not caused by Zionists. And of course, this is
like I said at the beginning of the segment, these people couldn't carry any of this out without the full backing of the American government. They couldn't carry this out without the financial resources provided by the government theft that they call taxation from the American citizens. And they couldn't do this without the military-industrial complex and the American war machine and empire.
Yeah, that's right. But, of course, it's not the U.S. empire that's doing all of it. I mean, yes, of course, there have been U.S. boots on the ground. Yes, of course, U.S. intelligence. Yes, of course, 69% of the weapons going to the Zionists come from the U.S. 30% come from the Germans. So, yeah, of course, this is the case. But what people want to do is to not focus on the people who are actually carrying out the vast bulk of the genocide, which, of course, is the Zionist regime and its troops. And they also don't want to look at the way in which Zionists operate in the UK and in the US to penetrate and infiltrate all areas of society, in politics, in media, in finance, in the entertainment industry. The people don't want to look at that at all. They want to turn their faces away from that and focus on the CIA, perhaps, or US imperialism, as if that's all there is to talk about. But that's not all there is to talk about. Of course, part of the power of the Zionists in the US and in the UK is because they have this active network, which helps to, yes, of course, lobby through the Israel lobby, but it also helps to radicalize young Jewish kids into believing the nonsense about them having a birthright to steal Palestinian land. And that is a real problem which we have to deal with. We have to actually enter into these organizations, the schools, the synagogues, the youth groups, who are actually radicalizing Jewish kids to believe in racist nonsense.
And so how do you suggest, what does that look like?
Well, I think you need to do something which is called de-Zionization, just like there was denazification agreed at the end of the Second World War in Yalta. And that, of course, means that Zionist organizations need to be ended. They need to be not allowed to exist, since they're racist organizations. There may be some examples where there are organizations which are perform some kind of communal function. Jewish schools, for example, in the UK, They should be allowed to continue as long as they resign from the Zionist movement. It's quite a simple thing for them to do. For some of them, they just resign. They just cease taking part in the Zionist movement's activities.
But who's going to do that? I mean, under the threat of what consequences? Who's going to actually carry out this, you know, de-Zionization?
Well, it needs to be done by the government. We need to be making sure that the UK or the US government are taking on our concerns about this seriously. And in the interim period, we must campaign for this. Look, there are many organizations in the UK which are supporting the IDF with money, and they've been reported upon, and people have been outraged. There have been demonstrations, and some of these organizations have been closed as a result. It's a particular one which supports the IDF with money. So that there's a thing, there's something which people can do. You're talking about people taking action. Yes, people can do that at the present, but ultimately we need the government to take action.
Do you think that they're really going to do that when they're paid so much money? I mean, if you could just go to opensecrets.org, you could look at all the money that these people are making and raking in.
That's right. But it's not going to happen until and unless the Zionists are defeated in Palestine by the Axis of Resistance and by the Palestinian resistance. And I believe that's likely to happen in the next year or two. And when that happens, then, of course, the whole game will change in the U.S. and in the UK. The power of the Zionists will melt away, because there will be nothing for the military industrial complex in the US to support.
Well, except for a kinetic confrontation with, oh, I don't know, Iran or Russia.
Sure.
And they're going to do that, and the justification that they're going to use is the defensive strikes by Iran into Israel.
That's right. But of course, the Americans don't want to do that, as far as we understand it. And we'll only come into that at the last moment when Israel stands on the brink of defeat. But, given what we know about the way in which the American military-industrial complex has systematically failed to continue to develop weaponry systems, it's quite likely that the U.S. would lose any such conflict.
Yeah. They want regime change very badly in Russia. And yeah, my explanation for that is, well, and the explanation that I have for that is, and you can correct me, I respect your opinion highly. I believe that it is because Vladimir Putin has rejected this one world governance, this Zionist movement, and he has rejected and turned away from the Rothschild criminal central banksters.
Look, I think that there's certainly a very big gap now between Russia and the West, and that gap, of course, is all of the West's own making with its attempt to provoke Russia and provoke it. It did, and of course, what Putin did when he came in was he reversed all the Western reforms that had been happening, and of course, what that meant was investment in industry and, in particular, in arms, so that the Russian military industrial complex is now far in advance of that produced by the West, as is indeed that of China and of Iran. I mean, the fact that the US has got no hypersonic missiles, none at all, is extraordinary, whereas Iran has its own hypersonic missiles. And that's a real sense in which the Russians have placed a hard block on the ability of the West to boss everyone else around. That's why American power is declining. But yes, Putin has set his face against that. I think you're slightly wrong about the question about Putin and the Zionists. He's not all in on opposition to the Zionists. Look, the Russians got bombed the other day by the Zionists in Syria. But the Russians have observation posts along the Golan Heights, along the border, which the Israelis have illegally occupied for 50 years. And they are fighting the Israelis indirectly, but they are not all in on taking on the Israelis militarily. And I think that the question we face in the immediate period is whether they're going to take that next step.
Do you think it's possible that Putin and his government are infiltrated by the same Zionists and the same Jews that occupy ours?
Well, there's no doubt that the Zionists have a strong role in Russia, and that they do try and infiltrate. In particular, one of the key ways in which they infiltrate is through an organization called Chabad, which has 5,000 branches all around the world. It has 150 branches in the UK. It has quite a lot of branches in Russia, and it has a strong influence there. But at the same time, the Russian government is trying to act against the Zionists. They've been trying to take a case against the Jewish Agency, which they were trying to kick out of Russia. They haven't managed to do that yet. So they're kind of ambivalent in some ways, but they are, of course, militarily facing the Zionists in Syria. That's not true of China. China is not infiltrated in the same way as Russia is to some extent.
Yeah. And it appears to me, I mean, at least from where I sit, that the reason why Vladimir Putin has to be the boogeyman is for the same reason that Adolf Hitler is the most lied about man in the world, the reason why we killed Saddam Hussein on an international stage and blamed ties to al-Qaeda and weapons of mass destruction. It's all BS. It was because he rejected the central bankers, and so did Muammar Gaddafi.
Well, yes, look, the Western system cannot stand those who will oppose it. So, of course, it opposes Gaddafi or Saddam Hussein or Ortega in Nicaragua or Maduro in Venezuela. Of course, the Cubans, let's not forget the North Koreans who are currently fighting with the Russians in Ukraine. Yes, of course, that's been the case for a long, long time. And we've known that for a long, long time. But we're now reaching the kind of end game of that process of the last 70 or 80 years. And that the question we're going to see is, will the Russians and indeed the Chinese step in when Iran is attacked? And it may well be the case that they step in order to prevent a nuclear war. And that's what I hope would be the outcome.
How does Israel, even stand a chance? Why would Iran need any help at all from this little tiny nation state?
It would need help if the US came in on the side of Israel. In order that the Russians and the Chinese could dissuade the Israelis, certainly, and possibly the US from a nuclear confrontation. I think it's only them who could do that. I don't think Iran has the power to dissuade them from attacking Iran with nuclear weapons. It has the power to militarily defeat Israel, certainly, and possibly even to very, very severely damage the US. But I think the key question is the balance of terror on the nuclear question and whether the Russians and Chinese can stop the Americans and the Israelis using nuclear weapons.
Wow. Do you believe that our government would get involved kinetically to support Israel? Do you really believe that we would send nukes that way? I don't know. I go back and forth on nukes and their existence, but there is some very serious weaponry, and I acknowledge that. But do you really think that that's how far in we are and how far we will go to protect these people?
Oh, I don't know that there's any doubt about that, really. I mean, I think that the question is only whether there's a superior force which can dissuade.
Then the question is kind of, I'm going to go back to this, is how do you change a government that's that occupied and that far in? How do you hold them accountable and force this to stop? You get rid of AIPAC. You declare them not only a foreign agent, but an enemy combatant, and then you treat them accordingly. But how can you do that when your entire government, besides Thomas Massie and maybe Rand Paul, how do you do that when your entire government, all the people with their hands on the levers of power, they're just completely sold out for this? And it's not the Jews, and it's not Israel. What I need people to understand, and I hope that you agree, maybe you don't, this is the front lines of the military-industrial complex. This is where trillions and trillions of dollars get siphoned through in nation rebuilding and every one of these forever wars and regime changes and interventions. That's the front lines. Israel. Israel is fake. It's not some Jewish homeland. And people, I just think, have a mental disconnect there.
I think so. But look, I think that the only way it's going to happen is if the power of the U.S. leeches so much in the multipolar process that the Russians and the Chinese and indeed Iran can force the Israelis into a defeat and dismantle the Zionist project in Palestine. And that would, of course, have a very, very damaging effect on the ability of the US to project world power and would force potentially a new government to emerge in the US, which would take cognizance of multipolarity and offer to work with and recognize the sovereignty of China and Russia and Iran. And that would be, that would be the best guarantor of world peace, it seems to me, for both of those things to happen.
And you have people like Tommy Robinson and Sean Hannity running around saying that the only, we have to wholeheartedly, with everything that we have, we must defend Israel. And then you have the infiltration and occupation and corruption of the Scofield Bible reading pastors in our churches. And so they have been able to program 2.4 billion Christians that this is the Israel of the Bible, which is theoretically impossible. It's not possible that it's 1948. How can this be the Israel of the Bible? And how are these God's chosen people? They can, without any kind of consequence or repercussion whatsoever, they can post actual war crimes and the bombings and the flattening of civilian apartment complexes in Beirut, and nobody says a damn thing.
Well, it is extraordinary, as you say, but you know, the Tommy Robinsons of the world are there to shill for the Zionists, and we have to, I think, to be clearer that the Zionists have a role in performing our politics in the UK, in the US, in France, and Germany, in many other countries, 45 or so countries, which the Zionist movement formally organizes in, and we can't get to sort this out until we acknowledge that the problem isn't just the military industrial complex. It's the role of the Zionists in pushing the military industrial complex and indeed Western foreign policy in directions which are not in the interests of the people of the US or of the UK or of France or Germany. They're simply not in our interests. And that's the key question. So we have to recognize what the enemy is and then find the way to defeat it.
109 other countries have figured it out. I mean, there's a precedent for how to deal with this.
Sure, of course there is. And if, you know, when it comes to the moment that the Zionist regime collapses, well, then many of them will have to go home. Some of them will not, will refuse and will fight to the death. And of course, they will be defeated. And it's only those who are able to make nice with the Palestinians, to be citizens of a Palestinian state who will stay, I think. So, but that's that itself will be an issue for the countries where these settlers will come back to, which will be Poland, Russia, the US, the UK, France, and Germany, many other countries too. And that again is a need for, that shows the need for a de-Zionization process when these killers come back to live in the West.
These BRICS nations could monetarily destroy Israel, but that would have catastrophic consequences for the United States as well.
Yes,
and so, as people cheer that on, they're cheering on their own demise as well. And we need to Bangladesh. We need to Bangladesh America is what needs to happen.
Well, I mean, America's already pretty close to that, isn't it? I mean, I see all the reports from what's happening in America. I mean, while all the money goes to Israel, America's not in a good place at present. You know, the people of America are not doing well out of all this, and it's clearly not in their interest to pursue this current course of action, which both the Democrats and the Republicans want to pursue. And you see the pressure that's being put on them from outside and from the Zionists. I mean, you see the I don't know if you've seen this in the last few days, the British Labour Party's penetration of US politics. So this is a kind of a real life Russiagate, where Trump has said that the British Labour Party is undermining democracy in the US and attacking Elon Musk and Twitter as being the heart of all evil. Now, of course, what's really going on here is that this is yes, it's the Labour Party, but it's actually the Zionists. This is the Zionists pushing from the left into US politics. And of course, the Zionists pushing through Elon Musk and through Trump, etc., from the right. So they're playing both ends of the game, as of course they do in this country too. And that's another thing which we don't recognize. So when Trump's saying, oh, it's the Labour Party and it's the left, no, it's not. It's the Zionists who are doing this. And we have to recognize that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your bravery and you know, the sacrifices that you have made to talk about all of this, not giving up, not wavering, you know, not even lightening up in your positions and making sure that people are educated on all of this, because that's the way that we really win an information war. David Miller, thank you so much. We appreciate it. So, I mean, there you have it. That's it. And if you look at the root of everything, as Miller was just talking about, you know, it's Trump that's been infiltrated. It's Musk that has been infiltrated. It's the left. It's the right. Go look at opensecrets.org. This isn't some left-right paradigm of Republican-Democrat, you know, fighting against each other as to whether or not we're going to support a genocidal foreign nation state. No, this is absolutely across the board become a uniparty duopoly who is absolutely sold out to this Zionist agenda, and they will not stop until they are stopped. Remedy is what we need to discuss. More next. Stick around.
I grew up in a world where everything evolved around politically. Everything evolved around Israel, and the power was amazing.
Good morning, AIPAC. Good morning.
I will be meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu later today, and President Obama will meet with him tomorrow.
He once called me the first Jewish president. Stand up for Israel and look out for the rights of the Jewish people.
I could be elected Prime Minister today. If I ever decided to give this up and go over to Israel, I would be elected very quickly. They have polls at 99%.
When Israel is singled out because of anti-Jewish hatred, that is anti-Semitism.
I did not need to be a Jew to be a Zionist, for I am.
We're going to take back our country, and we're going to make Israel great again.
And we're going to make Israel great again.
We need to support Israel. No ands, ifs, or buts.
So we have to save Israel. Look, you're here for a reason. We have to save Israel. This is no longer games.
You know, we live in a messed up place right now. Health and sickness and cancers. I know that I keep hearing about people that I know, friends and family, you probably have a lot of this, suddenly diagnosed with a life-threatening cancer. Or maybe it's happened to you. Because now this turbo cancer is a worldwide epidemic, and we're supposed to pretend like it's normal, like it's just always been here. But the good news is there are therapies that are working. And they have been proven in thousands of clinical studies. One study found on PubMed found that breast cancer's proliferation of growth rate dropped by 40% in only 24 hours using specifically a 660 nanometer wavelength. Another study on prostate cancer found that 49% of the over 400 male participants went into remission with just that one therapy. A lymphoma cancer pilot study showed that all three out of the three patients became cancer-free completely. Sounds unbelievable, but it's true. You can discover all of this information and more in a special training from investigative medical journalist Jonathan Otto. He's a great friend of mine, good friend of the show, and he shows you how you can use red light, including the specific wavelengths as proven by those studies, for all of the different types of cancers, as well as tinnitus, weight loss, wrinkles, acne, dementia, cognitive function, depression, anxiety, long COVID, vaccine injury, stem cell regeneration, lower back pain, sciatica, the whole array of autoimmune diseases, including thyroid disease, arthritis, lupus, gut disorders, all of that. And in fact, you can get your own red light therapy device in your home risk-free, as you're completely covered by a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 3-year warranty. On top of all of that, there's financing options, so you can get it now and pay later. Just go to myredlight.com. Again, that's myredlight.com. Make sure, you guys, that you don't miss this free special training while it's available and claim the extremely limited-time bonus gifts, discounts, all kinds of additional savings, and 10%, by the way, with the coupon code STU10. Go to myredlight.com and use the coupon code STU10. Don't miss the training. Again, myredlight.com.
You will own nothing and you'll be happy. This is where we're at right now. We don't have a right to complain if you're funding the big woke banks, the investment managers, if you're funding all these companies that believe against your values. If they're killing babies, if they have the woke agenda, if they're pro-LGBT, then you own that company. What are you doing today to refocus, realign your investment so that it matches your ethics, your American Christian-based value views? At Cortez Wealth Management, we want to create a solution that we can avoid the CBDC, can help you with your retirement, get you a reasonable rate of return, not fund China or any other communistic countries. And number five, work with a God-fearing fiduciary that has your best interest, that aligns with your values, that aligns with your beliefs, your religious beliefs, your spiritual beliefs, and that we can honor God, country, and family. Give us a call at 813-448-3446.